Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Fitton.
Welcome in, everybody, to episode 20. We hit a milestone big time on the Bears Etc. podcast. Hope you've enjoyed them. That Super Bowl winning Bear top there. I'm Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears. We preview the week 4 matchup with the visiting Denver Broncos. It's a lot of conversation about 0-3 teams, Tom. I took the time on Tuesday to spend almost the entire day listening to Denver Sports Talk Radio online. And we heard from Mark Schlereth. We heard from Terrell Davis. We heard from a lot of ex-Broncos. Brandon Stokely, I mean, the fervor and the anger about a 70-20 loss, 50-point loss is crazy. I mean, they want to wipe out everything over there. It's a raw reaction to a monumental score.
Well, you know, then, Jeff, in the history of the Chicago Bears since 1920, it's probably the biggest slap in the face that we've ever faced as an organization. Because when you talk about a team that just lost by 50 and got 70 points scored on them and they're 3.5-point underdogs at home, what kind of lack of respect is that? So I'm sure if you turned on the radio waves and all the podcasts and all the listenable alumni that you could hear from the Chicago Bears, they would be equally as disappointed. I can't believe that they're underdogs at home. And if there was any message that any coach ever had hanging in a facility that only the players could see, I would have 3.5 underdogs at home. That's all I would have. And that's that. You would not have to say anything else.
Do you recall ever in that situation in your playing career when you guys were underdogs at home and you just felt, that doesn't feel right?
No, I don't remember. But Jeff, these are such exclusive type of circumstances that I can't ever recall, you know, going through something like this. You know, just back in my college days, I was part of the first losing season in 18 years. And that was something that you never thought you'd go through at Notre Dame. You know, you went to Notre Dame thinking, wow, 1 out of 4 years, I could possibly be fighting for a national championship. But then you go and, you know, Jerry Faust gets hired. We win our first game against LSU. They put us at number one, and we go downhill from there. So, yeah, in a football career, something like this is going to present itself. But under these circumstances, when you have the analytics, you have the numbers, you have the modern day of social media, never seen anything like it.
Injury news from Halas on Wednesday. Josh Blackwell and Jalen Johnson both dealing with some issues, so no practice for them. Tyreek Stevenson, he did practice despite being under the weather, so he's okay. Saw him in the locker room. And they signed a veteran, defensive back Jo'Wan Williams, former second-round pick, Tom, of New England. Big guy, 6'4", 212, at Vanderbilt. Wow. He played a bunch of games. The Patriots thought so much of him back in 19. They moved up 11 spots to get him in round 2. But he was a rotational player. But talk about a size-athleticism combo with his size. 44 career tackles, 8 pass breakups. A shoulder injury last year. He was in position to kind of make that Vikings team this year, but they went with younger players. So he's here with the Bears now.
Yeah, you know, uniquely enough, I think when you put together the flow charts of the teams we faced, it seems like these 6'2 to 6'3 defensive backs are popping up more than we've seen in the past. I remember guys in my era that being bigger at the safety position, but now you see corner safeties that, you know, they're popping up with that size, and that's a unique quality to have that athleticism at that size.
Right. Well, you're going up a guy like 6'4 Claypool and other big receivers, Mike Evans in the league. We can go down the list. But now there's this, I just saw this tweet earlier today. I was going to write it down. I thought it didn't really pertain to the Bears game, but all these diminutive 165, 170-pound receivers that are tearing it up as well all across the league, either be rookies or veterans. And they're popping up, and it would go throw back to the old Miami Dolphins receivers for Dan Marino.
Right. Yeah. You know, you look at the two little, Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, you know, that those types of receivers. But if you have a talented quarterback, I don't think it really matters what size you are, because you go back and look at the couple of guys that Tom Brady cultivated throughout his career in New England. They're not big guys. They're not fast guys, but they catch the ball well, and they're anticipated receivers by the quarterback, and, you know, he can develop those types of guys.
Brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. Tastes like Miller time, Chicago. All right, well, let's touch on it, because we're going to be previewing this matchup against Denver, and one of the key weapons right now is Marvin Mims. He's 6'4". He can run routes. He is a game breaker. He has 4.3 speed, and he is your punt returner and kickoff returner, and he's had a 44-yard punt return and a 99-yard touchdown as well. So he has done a lot of things well. And now, even though he's a rookie, this Marvin Mims is asking for more targets. He's a playmaker, and we're all looking for playmakers in this league. Somebody to watch for the Bears this week.
Well, I think he's averaging like 17.9 a catch, but he only has less than 10 catches. But you go and you look at Cortland Sutton, I think he's got 17 catches and he's averaging about 11 yards per catch. So they have two receivers that they can go to. But who do you cover? Do you cover a tall, lanky guy like Sutton, or do you cover a rookie like Mims? So I think the Bears are going to have their hands full. But, you know, Jeff, after watching a lot of tape of both Denver and the Bears, I could do this home game preview and never talk about a playmaker. I could talk about the offense and defensive lines from both teams exclusively, because as much as we want to talk about those guys and the new guys on the spot and the tall guys like Sutton or the playmakers they have with the Bears, this is about the offense and defensive lines. That's what this game is going to come down to. So, I don't think we can ignore that.
So let's take it one each here. Let's put the offensive line of the Bears, likely to have Larry Borum back at left tackle. The likely return of a right guard, Nate Davis, on the field against a defensive line in Denver that was part of a defense that gave up 70 points.
Well, you know what, Jeff, is, you know, we've heard the word fundamentals in techniques, details to job, and that comes out of the mouth of Matt Eberflus. When I go look at the defensive line of the Denver Broncos, they don't disengage from blocks very well. If they get angled block, they go along with it. They kind of get fooled a little bit by super aggressive play action passing. So I think when you look at a defensive line and you think about, oh my God, we got to find out where Chris Jones is. You got to identify everything that, you know, goes against grain. Oh, we need what Vita Vea is going to do. We got to find out where he's going to be and what's going to happen. Oh, we need Frank Clark week one. Where is he going to be? That guy doesn't stand out to me in for Denver. And
what about Randy Gregory?
You know what? I don't think he is the marquee name of the guys that I just mentioned. I think that if you go and you have a solid, aggressive point of attack, double team in your face running game, he's the type of guy that you can wear down if you get those 35 to 40 carries in a game. So the other guys that I mentioned, at this stage of my life, I have an uber amount of respect for, and I would have to identify them where they are. So I was just not impressed with the Denver defensive line, and I hope I'm not biting my tongue come next week when we're talking about, you know, the game.
You look at every defensive category for both teams, many 32 and 31 rankings. Denver's the bottom of the barrel in yards allowed, bottom of the barrel in rushing yards, 31st in rushing yard average. This would be an invitation, Tom, to run the ball against the Denver Broncos, in my opinion.
You know, Jeff, there's a two-edged sword here. You know, it's an invitation for the Bears offense to get back on track, take a little bit of pressure off of Justin Fields, possibly open up some opportunities for the running game. But you got to impress the crowd early, Jeff. And if you can go and have impressive drives the first couple offensive drives of the game, and you get that crowd noise on your side, they will stick with you. But if you have a tendency to try to be flashy because of what Miami did early in their game, and all of a sudden you go a three and out, or you don't have a lot of offensive success, this crowd is not going to be kind. And so I think when you're going to ask this team, you're going to go back in that locker room as a head coach, and you're going to look at the eyes of the five guys that are offensive linemen, and you're going to say, guys, if we win this game, It's going to be because of you. If we lose this game, it's going to be because of you. And you have to put that type of pressure on this group of guys that are thick-skinned, and they can take that in front of their other teammates.
Good news, Chicago. United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears and you too. This is the Bears Etc. podcast. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak. All right, let's flip it now. The Bears defensive line against the Broncos offensive line. They got a quarterback that's still rated in the top 10, top 8 in the NFL right now in Russell Wilson, a savvy veteran. He can get out of trouble. He could also stand in the pocket there and get walloped as well. So if they don't run the ball as well and this team can tee off and start making them one-dimensional, what kind of advantage do you give the Bears defensive line? All of being said, just one sack so far this year.
To me, it's the defensive line plus the linebackers, because I think the Bears linebackers can flow well to the point of attack if they get protected by the defensive linemen. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to be able to react on the football, because hopefully they get an active crowd there that's making enough noise that Russell Wilson is going to have to go to a silent count. And if they can just pay attention through their peripheral vision, they have explosion off of the snap of the ball and take up multiple offensive linemen and let TJ and Jack Sanborn and Tremaine Edmonds, if they let them flow to the point of attack, they can slow or stop this running game and then put more pressure on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's not the same guy that came here with the Seattle Seahawks 10 or 12 years ago and played in the playoffs. This is a guy that still has talent, still has arm strength. He's accurate. He's an intelligent guy, but he just doesn't have the escapability that he did at one time. And if you can keep him in the pocket, make them be small with the defensive lineman penetration hands up, maybe they can block four or five passes in the game.
All right, he's without his top tight end, Greg Dulcich. He is on the injured reserve list. So Adam Trautman, a tight end. They got a blocking tight end and Chris Manhertz. The offensive line, they did bring in Ben Powers from Baltimore to play guard. You're looking at Quinn Meinerz. You got to love Quinn from Wisconsin Whitewater. He was the hit of the combine a couple years ago. That guy plays nasty. He plays nasty.
He does. I liked him at the combine. You pointed him out to me, started paying attention to him. He became a starter out there. And, you know, he is kind of their blue-collar tough guy on the inside. You know, Garrett Bowles may want to act like it, but Quinn Meinerz is a guy from the moment he stepped into an NFL full-padded training camp. He took charge of his position. He earned it, and he's been able to hold it down since then.
And the new right tackle this year, Mike McGlinchey, he started his career, obviously, from Notre Dame to the 49ers and now to the Denver Broncos. Good run-blocking offensive tackle. Take a chance. Download the Bet Rivers app today. All right, as you put that tape on, did you watch the tape as if you were Sean Payton, or did you watch the tape as Tom Thayer of the game? Did you watch the defense in its entirety against Miami? Because I had a hard time watching it and not cringing. Like, it was something. That speed of Miami is insane. However, the tackling and the angles, does speed do that to you that badly that you don't take the right angle?
So with a guy like Tariq Hill, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL that are going to go step for step with him. If you put the ball to him in space, he's going to make you look as bad as he did the other day. However, to me, I was more caught off guard by what you're talking about, lack of angles, lack of proper fundamental desire to tackle in the running game. And as much as Miami can threaten you by throwing the ball, what were they averaging, 7.1 yard per carry or something like that? And I mean
they basically averaged 10 yards a play.
Right. Unheard of, but it is. It's the fundamental front seven of the defense that I don't know if they were flat, if it was super hot, if they just weren't into it, or if they never felt like they were in control of the game. But, you know, and that's the thing about it. Yeah, it was not an impressive performance to me. However, I don't want to go back and as we're doing the podcast early next week saying, oh my gosh, Jeff, I was totally wrong. And they did a nice job of getting these guys fired up to rebound after that 70-point performance.
Gosh, I am expecting that. I'm expecting Sean Payton and his coaching staff to get the most out of his guys, whether they're up to the task and taking on a Bears team on the road, and the same with the Bears. So I expect a game here. I don't expect some walk in the park for either team.
Oh, man, listen, I'm going to get to the stadium early because it's going to be a beautiful day. And since the game in Kansas City got over and then we became aware of the score of the Dolphins game, it's almost something that, you know, you look forward to just because you're crazy. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, if I was the Denver coaching staff, how would I handle it? If I was the Bears coaching staff, what would I do? And then when I found out the Bears were underdogs by 2 points, and then I looked at it the next day, then it went to 3.5, I was going, okay, you don't have to say another word to me. All I'm going to do is I'm going to put that up on the boards, and I'm going to have every single player say and see it every single time that they're on their feet inside the facility. And if you don't become offended by that as a Chicago Bear, then you'll never be offended as a professional athlete.
Right now, when you spend over $29.99 at Steinhoffel's, that's $2,999, you'll score a $100 Bears Pro Shop gift card. Visit any one of their 4 Chicagoland locations in Vernon Hills, Crystal Lake, Downers Grove, and Harwood Heights, or shop online at steinhoffels.com. Did they ever, and now don't get offended, did you ever go to a store, and I know you don't go shopping ever, maybe you did when you were younger, I don't know, did you ever see...
I don't shop, I buy.
Did you ever see a 57th Thayer jersey hanging on a store shelf?
Oh, of course not.
No, not even in the 85 era. It was too many stars. No 5'7". So you have to make it special. You got to get the actual. Got to go through the process of stitching Thayer on the back. They didn't sell them that way.
Huh? No, you want me to get you one?
You know, I think before either one of us retires, I think you need a Joniak jersey and I need a Thayer jersey.
What number are you going to be?
1.
No, you're going to be number 0.
My favorite number, my number throughout my baseball playing days was number 2. So maybe we'll have to go number 2. You're always number 1, Tom. Let's just face it.
Well,
you are the offensive lineman of our booth. You keep us steady. You clear the path for success, and you've always been that way, looking out after everybody.
We'll get DJ Moore jersey, and we'll get Tony Medlin to make a Joniak nameplate. We'll get it sewn on there, and I'll wear it to the game because it's probably the same size of the jersey I wore when I was a player.
Well, you know, I remind us all, when you first met me as a broadcaster, I interviewed you before, but we're at the old WMAQ, which is now the home of the Score, and it was an NBC tower. They're not there anymore, and we had our first Bears meeting with Lorna Gladstone as our program director, and we had the whole crew in a big boardroom, and for some unknown reason, I show up in a dress-length Blackhawks jersey, right? Down to the knees.
We call those sweaters and
sweaters,
hockey.
That's correct.
But the thing about it is they're supposed to be 3/4 arm length, and your sleeves are hanging
Well, now,
over
don't
your
exaggerate.
Hands.
Don't exaggerate. Listen, man. I still have that jersey. I still have
you were. I felt like I was walking into an actual George Costanza because there's a couple episodes where he's at a big meeting room like that. Doing different silly stuff, and there you are.
Isn't it great we can self-deprecate after all these years? Yeah.
Well, you think, what was that, 27, 28 years ago? You were like 4.
I mean, unbelievable, and you were 6.
Whose number was on that hockey sweater?
There is no number.
Oh, my God.
I don't think there's a number. Anyway, the matter at hand is we are brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears. Now, an area we have not discussed because it is probably one of the strengths of that right now 32nd ranked defense, but Patrick Surtain II is an outstanding all-pro corner. He's legit. Justin Simmons is dealing with a hip injury, so he didn't play, but when he's on the field with this guy, that's half the field is pretty much, they're in charge. Simmons is an outstanding, hard-hitting, big safety. Both are very good players.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing about it is ever since DJ Moore came aboard, you always kind of knew that he was going to draw the attention of the number one cornerback on whomever you're playing. So now you have to open up opportunities for the other cast of characters. And as disappointing as I was to see DJ Moore drop that first long attempt by Justin Fields, I think he's capable of making that catch, and I would give him three or four of those a game. Because if you hit two out of three or something like that, you're talking about eating up a tremendous amount of field and getting yourself in scoring position immediately. I would never shy away from DJ Moore, no matter who's covering, because that's one of the things I think Justin does so well is extreme long ball accuracy. And so if you want to use the 6'4 Claypool or Darnell Mooney, who's got hands unlike a lot of others, and like Matt Eberflus said today at the podium, even Cole Kmet. But DJ Moore is the guy that's going to draw the attention of Surtain, and you're going to have to make some catches against him.
How would you put in context Justin Fields at the podium on this day? Not a crack of a smile, very serious. Short answers. Well,
he's in a no-win scenario.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he says something to a question that the question asker or the rest of the media find something wrong with it, that's what they're going to attack. So I feel bad for Justin because he's a little bit more reserved up there than what his personality is really like. So I think that's the way it's going to be until the Bears win a game. And I don't fault him for that, but that's just the cautiousness you have to have nowadays at the podium. And I think, and again, I was telling you this last week, I think the quarterbacks go to the podium too much. I wish they didn't have to address the media immediately following the game, because there's too many things that you just experienced that you really haven't seen yet, and you need to see them to talk about them.
What's the intangible as we wrap things up? What's the intangible in this game? Broncos, Bears, noon, Sunday, Soldier Field. You'll hear it on ESPN 1000 on the Bears Radio Network. We kick off at 12:02.
Well, there hasn't been a kickoff return in the last 2 weeks because both kickers are banging them on the out of the end zone. I would like to see some type of significant play one way or the other out of the special teams. Maybe you get a turnover on a punt or something like that. But again, it's going to come down to, you know, challenging your offensive line, unlike any other time in Matt Eberflus's career, whether he tells the general public that he's challenged him or at the podium at the end of the game, he says, I went up and told my offensive line, it's you guys or else, and then have Luke Getsy call the 35 to 40 runs per game. But you know, last week, as hot as it is in Miami, you're going to bang the football. When you're in Denver, you're always going to bang them out of the end zone. So this is Chicago. It's still supposed to be a high of 81 degrees and a sunny day. And so we may see the same that we've seen the last couple of days. However, if Velus Jones Jr. is the returner and you have ones that go 1 to 2 yards back in the end zone, take it out. Give yourself a shot. See if you can create field position legally without any penalties, and give yourself a chance to have an exciting, explosive play so your offense can take the field with some great field position.
Yeah, Will Lutz, 13 kickoffs, 13 touchbacks. Marvin Mims Jr., a legit return man. Now, how are the Bears going to approach that player? Because he's already had a kickoff return for a touchdown. He's had a huge punt return. What's that going to mean?
You know, listen, man, you know, last week when you saw the first punt by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I've been yelling and complaining about how come we don't see any coffin corner punts anymore. And that was, that showcased that put the Bears in very bad field position to start their first drive, and it's tough to recover from that. So you may have to challenge Trent to have a more directional kick more near the sideline so you condense the return area to allow your personnel to either get down or maybe get a lucky bounce out of the end, off the sideline.
For all your journeys ahead, go with a partner who's been on your team from the beginning, the one members and communities have trusted for over 85 years, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, always standing by you, with you, for you, through it all. All right, that's our wrap-up of Week 4, the preview edition on our podcast number 20. Hope you'll join us next week, and it'll be a swift moving week, Tom, because you have to have, you know, I'm sure they've planned already for this week, and you have to kind of do some pre-planning for Washington weeks ago because it's a short week. You kind of focus these short weeks, but that'll be a short week. But we'll be with you on Tuesday morning to wrap that up, and then back with you on Thursday, the night of the kickoff, to talk about the Bears and the Commanders and Ron Rivera's crew. So hope you'll join us then. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
You know, I just want to leave that stadium at 4 o'clock on Sunday with the big smile on my face, knowing that the Bears were able to accomplish something after the difficult circumstances they faced last week and coming into this week, and just make, you know, for a bright Sunday.
You know, the Bears have now won a home game, 8 straight losses at home. Visiting Broncos have lost 6 straight road games, so something's going to give.
Yeah. All those negative analytics and stats.
Those aren't analytics. Those are stats. Those are facts.
Well, I mean, I was thinking of analytics in my head, and I don't even want to bring them up. I just want to leave them alone.
It's hard to believe we haven't felt that that excitement of a win in that many games at Soldier Field. So that's got to turn around in a big hurry. All right, back with you next week for Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day. This has been Bears Etc., and we'll talk to you soon. Bear down.